Hello and welcome. You are listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com. It's a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day. Today is April 16th, and this is episode number 80. I am Will Morgan. I'm Will Morgan, and as usual, I am joined by my jack-off co-host, Doug Bowles. How you doing, Doug?
What was that, Will?
Whatever.
Thanks and good morning. Today, the program is meeting someone new for the first time. Someone who has been around the sync block more than once, but has managed to still stay fairly low-key. An individual whose blog states that ideas are toys, the search for truth is a game, believe nothing, explore everything. And of course, now I'm speaking about Detroitify, located at Detroitify.com, a site whose aim is to engage people into creating and editing their reality tunnels by evolving beyond the BS, belief systems. Hello, Ringo. Welcome to 42 Minutes.
Hi, guys. Nice to be here.
It's great to have you, and great to finally meet you.
Yeah, same with you guys.
So, you're international. Where exactly are you?
I'm in Belgium, at the coast of Belgium.
And then how and when did you get into this stuff?
Right.
Who? Well, I just gotten laid off while working an IT job.
And, why do all sync stories start like that? I was at the bottom of the barrel. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was working an IT job for a big company that left me really disillusioned. My girlfriend also broke up with me, and I was a bit depressed, really. So I decided I should really just go to the library because I wasn't knowing what I was going to do with my life. And I just randomly picked up a book on Atlantis. Okay. And that book on Atlantis got me to Plato. Then I got into Greek philosophy. And then through the internet, I got from Greek philosophy to Buddhism, which got me to Alan Watts, which got me to Robert Anton Wilson, which spread it out into everything, really, and took over my formerly materialist BS and switched it right open.
What year was that?
2003.
And then when did you start your blog?
The blog started in 2007, but I was active on MySpace before that.
Mm-hmm.
I was posting a lot of MySpace bulletins, and then I decided I needed a blog instead of that.
And then what, I mean, so like, it seems like Jake Kotze began blogging like 2005, I think, but it seems like a lot of us all found each other about 2008, 2007, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
What was your avenue into the synchromistic community?
Whew, I was just exploring all kinds of weirdness on the internet, really, and I stumbled across Jake's videos and then Steve Wilner's videos. And I found him really fascinating and tried to incorporate some of it on the blog.
Yeah.
So what do you think about the headlines today? I'm just going to switch it up real quick.
About Boston?
Yeah. Have you even looked into it at all?
Yeah, I've even posted a blog post already with a few syncs.
Okay.
And they're calling it the twin bombings a lot on the media.
Oh, yes.
There seem to be a lot of signs that there were drills the same day again.
Right, which is...
There are also some hints that they knew that something was going to happen because just before the bombs exploded, they announced on the loudspeakers that everybody should stay calm. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on again with it.
Did your site begin primarily as a conspiracy site, or did it always have a spiritual aim?
It started as a spiritual site to help people, to be a little catalyst for people to wake up, and then it also branched off into conspiracy.
And you actually, let's see, on one of your posts, kind of, let's see if I can find it. You kind of unpack conspiracy.
Pull up, Goose.
The word conspiracy has completely been demonized, though if you have a better suggestion as how to name the label, I welcome your thoughts. This is you're trying to define some of the terms you use on your blog.
Yeah, the blog info.
Yeah. And conspiracy is one of those loaded words, isn't it?
Where, oh, yeah. If you give like one hint that you might be one of those conspiracy theorists, a lot of people will stop taking you seriously right away.
Well, especially they associate conspiracy and theory together, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Spotters on the roofs.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm reading your twin bombings article right now. Because
yeah.
I've only been able to just hear splattered stuff for the last day. It was kind of a busy and crazy day. But that's interesting. Bomb sniffing dogs at the starting line before the race started. There was definitely drills going on, right? I heard there was a drill of an explosion across from the library, and then later there was a bomb went off in the library.
I have a personal sink, really,
my friend.
Yet.
What's that? Say that again, I'm sorry.
Or a fire. They weren't very clear about what happened at the library yet. Last I heard.
Okay. It's going to be jarbled, huh? It's going to be come out all kinds of different ways in the media already, I can tell you. It's going to be funny.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, Jogger's Illuminati card. I haven't seen that either.
Let's see. There's someone else who his bread and butter is the kind of the world event synchro stuff. Where did his post go? Lauren Coleman. I want to see what he has to say. It seems like he picked up on something.
Well, he picked up on Patriots, and I haven't read his either, but it's interesting because the first text message that I got was from my friend who said they're going to blame it on Patriots. You watch. And then it struck me. I had forgotten that it was Patriots Day.
I've never even heard of Patriots Day.
Right. I'm pretty sure it has something to do with the revolution, wouldn't you say? And this is bad because we're Americans and we don't know jack.
And now we do. Our listeners, this is an article about the American civic holiday. Patriots Day is a civic holiday commemorating the anniversary of the Battle of Lexington and Concord on April 19, 1775. These were the first battles of the American Revolutionary War. It is observed on the third Monday in April in Massachusetts and Maine, once part of Massachusetts.
But it was the Boston Marathon, so it would have been full-fledged celebration in Massachusetts. That's kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is I haven't heard anything about
Patriot.
Ringo, has there been any talk about who's to blame or speculation?
They've been very careful, but at the same time dropping words like maybe homegrown terrorism, maybe Al-Qaeda, you know, all the usual suspects they like to throw out, while at the same time stating that they're not throwing anything out there. But there's not a lot known right now.
Okay, so I know that we're kind of puzzled by this whole thing, but I want to thank you for your good work on how much different areas you're pulling information from on your website.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. What topics have you gotten the biggest response from?
From the website?
Yeah.
Mostly it's people emailing me and thanking me for helping me find Robert Anton Wilson or Alan Watts or just any good kind of information, which I'm really happy about. Because that's what the blog and the site is for, you know, to help people learn what I learned. because I had a real hard time finding all this stuff. I didn't even know it was out there until I stumbled upon them. So I wanted to do something to help people find it more easily.
And go ahead, Douglas.
Oh, I was just wondering if it was like a particular book by Robert Anton Wilson or like...
Oh, yeah. Prometheus Rising.
Ooh, that's weird. I was just watching Prometheus last night.
Yeah, that book definitely opened a lot of doors for me.
Right. So it seems that, I mean, you make the comment on to evolve beyond belief systems and to, you know, consciously create and edit our own reality tunnels. What kind of practices are you going through on a day-to-day basis? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
I try to meditate daily. That's the main practice. It doesn't always work out to meditate twice a day, but and I also have periods that I'm experimenting a lot with meditation. And next to that, I just do all kinds of stuff that I'm experimenting with. I try some Tai Chi from now and then, some yoga, Hatha yoga. I've experimented with pranayama, chaos magic, and just everything I can find, or hemisync MP3s, or just anything that will shift my consciousness.
Hemisync.
And also a lot of neuro-linguistic programming.
Right.
I've been busy a lot with that also.
And what's your philosophy on synchronicities? I mean, is this... you know, we were talking to Trish and Rob McGregor, who are kind of like investigative reporters as far as sync goes. But in your own personal experience, I mean... how much do you trust sync?
That's a really hard question. I really have like a lot of downtime when there's nothing happening at all. I just see it as like the subjective merging with the real world. Just like I see like chaos magic, for instance, I see it as synchronicity engineering to a point.
Right.
It's really interesting because sometimes it'll really steer me back on the path, so to speak, a synchronicity.
Right.
And sometimes there's just nothing going on.
Well, I liked last week how Trish and Rob McGregor also like attributed synchronicity to the trickster. And so the trickster is leading you somewhere, but sometimes it's... so
well,
it's like...
I tell you, on a personal level, lately I've been thinking about this a lot because, I mean, what do you believe? Yeah, you know, there's so many synchronicities that would point to aliens. There's so many, and I'm not talking about, you know, the synchronicities and abductees. I'm talking about the pop culture side of synchromysticism, where you're seeing evidence on all these different conspiracies and ways of thinking and blue suns, and, you know, it's just insane. But none of that stuff really comes to fruition. I mean, it's almost like it's hinting or it's pointing.
I'm really distant from the alien theory. I just had a rude encounter with it recently with Whitley Strieber. He had a new program that was a pilot of. Did you see that?
I saw that on your website, yes.
Yeah, and I downloaded that pilot episode, and it was him and another woman talking about their abduction experiences, and it was reenacted with CGI. Very, I mean, not low budget or anything. It was pretty real, and it scared the shit out of me for like 3 straight days. I have to add also that when I had my first, like, really deep mushroom trip, mm-hmm. I got, like, this complete... explanation of the universe and life, and there was nothing alien about it, not a single alien life, and I'm still very grateful to the mushroom for not including any alien weirdness into it, because that wouldn't have helped me a lot at that time, I think.
See, it seems to be, it only gives you what you're prepared for. It's weird.
Yeah.
Little baby
steps. Speaking of, like, alien, so one other aspect of the alien, the other... Your blog is called Dedroidify. Is that something you made up?
It's like a droid from Star Wars, a robot. And every person is a bit of a robot, like how they're conditioned and how their beliefs and filters affect their actions and their thoughts. So it's like
reprogram
reprogram yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, but you did invent that expression.
Yeah, I hadn't heard it anywhere before.
Yeah. Well, so, okay, this is the obvious question. Being in Belgium, and what is the language there?
The part I'm at speaks a Flemish, which is like Dutch.
Uh-huh.
Very similar to Dutch, like we can understand the Dutch. It's just different dialects. And at the southern side of the country, they speak French.
And
so it's Dutch, French, and English is the third language here,
and
which
so
we learn in school.
In school, do all the kids learn all three languages, or?
It's depending on region. So we have the Flemish part where kids learn in Flemish, and then there's Brussels, which has both languages here and there. So you can choose which school you go to, and then there's the French schools.
How is the government different from, I mean, the...
Oh, it's a mess from the American system.
Yeah, I mean, is it fairly attached, or as far
it's
as
like,
capitalism and so forth go, or...
We've got like a liberal party, a Christian party, a socialist party. Then there's the Flemish, the guys who want to separate Flanders from the rest of the country. And there's the Green Party, I think. So instead of two parties, we get a lot of shitty parties to choose. And they just do like a round table dance every election. They have to form coalitions. If they can't form a coalition, we have to go to the voting booths again. It's just a big mess. And I didn't even go vote. We have a voting duty here, but it leaked out in the news that they don't do anything if you don't go voting. And I just didn't care about the last election, because the election before that, the guys who want to separate Flanders from the rest of Belgium, they won. And it's not like they're going to be able to separate Flanders at all. But they had some good policies, and they weren't allowed to form their own government. So they won the election, but they weren't able to form a government. So I just don't believe in a representative democracy. It's a joke.
One of your newest posts has to do with voting as well. What is this?
Yeah, it's just that, you know, they have the voting machines in America and in Belgium too.
Mm-hmm.
And in the last election, so many computers failed that... they're not going to pay them the full amount that was agreed upon, because lots of votes were lost. So this is democracy. Votes were lost. Big deal.
Jesus. That's
maybe
loose.
At least it's Smartmatic and not Diebold, because Diebold has to be the gutsiest name ever for a corporation.
So maybe this is turning into a civics lesson, but isn't there some international body that meets in Brussels? What is that? Why can't I think of that? Is it the Hague or what?
Probably the UN or...
NATO or something?
Yes, possible. I don't know everything about it myself, because I try to stay away from politics as much as possible.
So you seem to be on a much more spiritual path. Most of what you're dealing with is apparently more of a consciousness evolution.
Yeah, it's trying to find myself also. It's also very psychological.
Is there much room for a subculture like this in Belgium as far as spiritual, or do you feel pretty much as an island in this form of thinking?
Well, yeah, a bit pretty much. I don't know anyone in person here I can talk to about this stuff, and I try to reach out to a few spiritual groupings, but that never ended very well.
Yeah, it's always interesting when... I mean, so synchromysticism isn't... It isn't a national thing. It's obviously something that's everywhere, but it's always fun to see where individuals pop up as far as...
Yeah.
There's Nexus of Sync in Germany, and you know there's Stefan Jablonski in Australia. I wonder why there's more of us in North America. Not very many.
No idea.
Yeah. One of the things
I think
that
it probably just has to do with access to the internet, homie.
I don't know.
It's just a larger, because I mean, there's nobody I get to talk to about this in my like. It's
now
it,
I think
seems, the ratio is pretty low.
It seems like one of the things, like one of the commonalities about all of us is that we tend to go through like darkness to get to synchromysticism a little bit.
Our good friend Rigo would confirm that.
Yeah, and so it seems like there's definitely a lot of darkness in the United States as far as being able to question the media story or...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Except
9/11 really changed a lot.
Right.
It certainly did.
This whole concept of having to go through the dark night of the soul to reach enlightenment, like the overall need to go through the physical body and experience pain just so like the highest form of consciousness could develop or evolve through pain. Because there's always that question of if there was such a spiritual, you know, everything is connected, everything is one, then why divide it up? But it seems like the feeling of separation is necessity for everything to be one. See,
there's a principle that Kevin Halcott kind of spearheaded by saying thin skin or membrane, and I kind of ran with that with the idea of a hot air balloon. So the air is not separate, but the hot air balloon, to harness that power of making it rise, you have to have the thin skin or membrane to contain. I mean, so if you heat the air, it's all just going to mix together because it's all – but by kind of putting it in that covering, I think about that in terms of people sometimes, that to have a different experience of consciousness – we kind of have to separate ourselves from the larger mix, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's also a great, and it's like you think of the world as so weird, but in a way it's perfect because you're learning every kind of perspective that way.
Yeah. Another friend named Crystal had the theory that maybe God was schizophrenic, that he wanted to experience every experience, and the only way to do that was to fragment into millions and millions of little shards to, you know, have this experience and that experience. And this is why when you – like the Wizard of Oz, where she keeps bumping into these same people over and over, and I experience that too, where it's like, oh, look, I know this person. It's the same archetype. It's just a different mask. Or
I also had this experience in the same mushroom trip I talked about. Like I had a really hard time understanding the world, the people around me, the Middle East, America, how they were dealing with things, how Europe was dealing with it. And then in this mushroom trip, I saw like God dividing himself up into all kinds of cultures and people and like even the cultures themselves were very different, and it was like this whirlwind going up, and all these people and cultures and different ideologies were bashing each other, and then slowly they were starting to understand parts of each other, and then they were going like, oh, now I see your point of view. You see? Like, it was like a whirlwind. It went very fast, and even like plants and animals and rocks and air were arguing with each other until they all understood each other. When I woke up out of that, I was like, God damn, yeah. Now I see.
Oh, that made my morning.
One of the things that I really appreciate about your site is that you have taken the time to list or just offer people a lot of different options to find different synchromistic bloggers or sites and stuff. And so you have a blog role called synchromisticblogspotters.blogspot.com, where you have a rundown of a chunk of the community.
I probably needs an update too.
And then also, so if someone Googles synchromysticism, your site is one of the first things that come up, because you also have a wonderful little portal that when you, let's see, yeah, it's this / synchromysticism, and you have 4 videos. You got a Jake video, you got a Steve Wilner video. Well, you have a couple Jake videos, but then you also mention Goro Adachi, and you've got Christopher Knowles's Our Gods Wear Spandex book. And so it's interesting, because those were some of the big pillars for me too. You know, have you interacted with any of those individuals?
I've mailed back and forth with Christopher Knowles during the Dark Knight episode. Let's call it that.
The whole Dark Knight phase.
Yeah, and also I had a lot of contact with the guy from Hidden Agendas, but he quit his blog and he finished it because he felt he needed to get rid of his conspiracy reality tunnel. He wanted more positivity into his life, which I can understand.
Right, you have to.
But otherwise, I haven't. Yeah, indeed.
Hidden Reality. It was that. I can't think of his name.
Michael Skaggs, that
yeah,
was it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it seems like he was a pretty common feature on Christopher Knowles' blog, too.
Yeah, he also gave me the logo for Detroitify, the robot.
It's nice. A nice logo, yeah.
See, I love that. I love when, you know, you kind of pick up little bits and pieces from other people. Do you know what I mean? Like somebody ends up doing, because the same thing happened to me. Somebody did the logo for me. Somebody did this. Somebody did that. And
well, the 42 Minutes logo was created by a bunch of people.
Right.
This
is the type of, this is the, what networking has done, is built these, it's not even like a barter system. People just do stuff for free for each other. I noticed, yeah. I don't know if you're being supported or not by donations. Have you had any luck in that at all?
Very rarely, though. I did do a therapy service online for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And that was handled by people could choose how much they would donate for it.
Mm.
So I helped, I think it was 20 people over the years. But I stopped it now because it's going too slow and I want to see what else I can do with my life now. But I've helped around 20 people and had some really interesting experiences with that also.
So something that happened, you know, the Sync book, this is where I'm going.
Yeah.
Were you able to check any of those out at all? Or is this
Not yet.
Not yet. We'll have to get we'll have to get you one. See what you think. Because it's, I was talking about it last night, you know, It's hard because you want to have a conversation with members of the community that, you know, we speak the same language, so we understand each other. But at the same time, if someone is curious and they come to it, you know, we don't want someone outside, you know, to feel like they're unable to join, like it's too much of an insider's.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was telling Alan last night that I think for whatever reason, the Sync book is kind of a nice little entry point into the weirdness, because there's enough different perspectives, you know, and there's enough different people that there's something, some entry point in there that's non-threatening. And so, yeah, I'm saying you should check out the Sync book, both of them. They're
pretty. Oh, yeah. I'm definitely going to get on that. I just bought a lot of books online for when I was going to Thailand. So I'm still finishing what I've got from that, but after that batch is through, I'm definitely getting the same book.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. I think you would probably be a good candidate for Sync Book 3, in fact.
Sure. I have no idea what I put in it, but maybe reading the first two would help with that.
And now people can also find stuff that you put up on YouTube as well, correct?
Yeah, there's just a few YouTube videos from a while back.
A while back, but they're videos on Robert Anton Wilson, Bill Hicks, rare footage of Bill Hicks, Terrence McKenna. Is this most of the stuff that you – did you search this out and find it on the internet? I mean, where did you come by most of this footage? Some of it seems a little bit obscure.
Yeah, I found it on the internet, and I just saved it as soon as possible because I noticed the more videos I posted, that was the amount that was going offline again a few weeks later, which drove me nuts. So I just needed a few videos to be saved for the future.
Posterity's sake, yeah.
Yeah.
Could you talk a little bit? So something I've never bumped into is the 8th circuit model of consciousness. This isn't something that I'm familiar with, but I think
this is Prometheus. This is This is Robert Anton Wilson, or in Timothy Leary too a little bit. But go ahead, go please explain it.
Okay, so the 8th circuit model is a model that maps human consciousness, really. It helps to understand human psychology, and it helps to understand yourself and other people a lot better. But it also helps to understand the weirdness in our lives, like what meditation does with you, or how an outer body experience can be viewed through this model. So we've got 8 circuits, and you want me to go over them?
Sure.
Yeah, I think Doug would like it.
Well, I'm just sitting here thinking, it seems like...
This is a lot to get into. I think that's why I was being cautious.
Yeah,
because...
I could just give a very summarized version. I've done
Robert
it a
Anton Wilson describes the book, Prometheus Rising, as an owner's manual for the human brain.
Yeah.
And so this is the architecture of consciousness, is what you're saying?
This is just a model that, that for me... reflects it pretty well to help you understand, especially for someone who deals with spirituality, synchronicity, and works on their conscious evolution, really.
Is it similar to Maslow's hierarchy of needs on some, or is it more like a Freudian thing where he's trying to understand this?
Well, I mean, it's basically a model that's both Robert Anton Wilson and Timothy Leary were very into psychology. So it's in psychological terms, but it just goes down to the circuits being the basis of social interaction. Like the first circuits would be what the first accomplishments one would get to as a baby, like just the up, down, left, right type of mentality, and then it gets into pecking orders of the family, and then the next circuit would be social pecking orders and things of that nature. Am I kind of correct? I'm trying to do a summarized version. You sound like that you've actually got a spiel I put in quotation marks because you've explained it so much.
Sorry?
I said, do you sort of have a script? Have you explained this too much that you're kind of used to trying to explain it to newbies? I would like to hear what you got, because I know about this, but I've just kept my mouth shut.
Okay, so the system works, the first 4 circuits are for Earth intelligence, as Robert Anton Wilson puts it, and it's just our biology. So you have the baby that's physical, and it's like the fear or flight response. Mm. You can correlate it with Gurdjieff also. He's got a model that fits into it, which is just you can just sorry, my English is lacking here. So the first circuit is like the baby consciousness. The second circuit is like the toddler that gets territorial and emotional. The third circuit is when reason starts to get in, so when you start going to school and learning to read and write.
Right.
And the fourth circuit is when you get into puberty. But all these consciousness states, they're not all only evolutionary pieces of our psychology, but also states of consciousness, you've got when you're hungry or thirsty, that's the physical. But also when they work on the fear of hunger or thirst, that can also induce the fight or flight response, like when they do in the media a lot. Circuit 2 is when you're drunk, for instance, a grown-up person will start acting like a toddler when he's drunk and start throwing temper tantrums to defend their beliefs, because the beliefs are situated in the second circuit. They're not situated in the logical circuit, because that's the center of reason. That's map building, and like the forming of your reality tunnel is done with reasoning. But when you start believing, that shifts back to the second circuit. So a lot of people are not being rational when they think they are. They're just defending their belief systems. And then when circuit four deals with the social aspects of consciousness. But then, so those are the four basic circuits. Then it gets more complicated. When you start dealing with meditation, you start dealing with the fifth circuit, which is neurosomatic. So your body is affecting your consciousness and vice versa.
Right.
So that's like Tai Chi or yoga. And when you start, the higher you get on the circuits, the more complicated it gets, because the sixth circuit starts with psychic experiences, something I haven't had that much experience with, but also like synchronicities and stuff. And then the seventh circuit, because the six, seven, and eight are still a bit of a mystery to me myself, because the seventh circuit then sort of deals with, the sixth circuit is called neural electric, like when the Kundalini starts energizing.
Oh, neural electric, actual electric response to the brain's neurology.
Perhaps. And the seventh circuit is neurogenetic. So that's when you start reading the DNA as they speak, when you start getting these visions on mushrooms or DMT or LSD. And then the eighth circuit is when your consciousness leaves your body and goes to the very weird places.
Wow. Thank you, man.
I flashed on an image as you were talking. So I'm going to take it back to aliens, but you were talking. Well, because you've referenced mushrooms a couple of times, but I recently listened to Mike Cleland on the Radio 314, I think it was, and he was talking about his experience in Utah seeing this round – he thought it was a building with all these lights. And so you're talking about these different circuits and things and how our consciousness can go. It was hard for me not to see – if you've ever seen the images that Jim has put about the what is that? The space it's Peru or wherever it is.
You're talking about Juan Flores's
– Yeah, his
volcano.
His healing center. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I wonder if Mike Cleland is seeing the spaceship he's seeing is these ayahuasca arrows traveling around. But you were mentioning with the circuits of consciousness and how the higher ones get a little difficult to pin down.
Well, it's the same.
Yeah,
it's
not
a,
many
it's,
people have explored them.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you it's the same thing kind of – I'm not going to make a direct correlation to like the Kabbalic Tree of Life, but if the Kabbalic Tree of Life is seen as being some sort of map for man's thought processes, then the top sephiro are out of reach. The three are beyond man's attainment, and the chakras – they go above the head as well. So the top circuits would be outside of the body, like you said.
Yeah.
And it's just like the chakras are.
But one of the things I really liked about the Esalen book that we read, Jeffrey Kripal's book, was how those guys back in the 60s were trying to bring those things that seemingly were out of body experiences and then putting them in their body. Like that was a really important little milestone for me on my own de-droidifying mission.
The enlightenment of the body.
Yeah. 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 The fun thing I have to say, one of the fun things about jumping into an aggregate blog like yours is seeing some of the old videos pop up. So
classics.
That's exactly right. You forget that like synchromysticism is kind of like a YouTube art. That's
right.
That's definitely my favorite way of seeing them. I think Steve Wilner's videos are absolutely amazing.
They really are. I mean, he's a master, and you just forget how awesome these things are.
The coolest thing I think about your Blogspot that I've discovered today, because I have been doing it on my phone, is how beautiful this format is for my phone. I mean, because it just comes up with the individual stories so I can shift through them and go pages back. I think this is going to be one of my favorite spots on my phone now.
Nice. Which is that's so funny, Will, because
this whole thing is new to me. Like, you know that, Doug. This is my new smartphone. So like
I was thinking, you know, like when I design, or when you think about your blog, you're sitting at your desk and on your computer, but really it seems like these things should be designed for the phones, because that's how people move through the world now.
Well, the thing that I have, yeah. I've had a problem with Blogger, especially with my own blog, has been that I wrote them more to be not so diary-like, and Blogger kind of has its roots in this, you know, diary-like post that doesn't work with Sync Post, in my opinion. To be able to shift through them like you do on your particular blog, where you could see the post and then pick which one you wanted at will or whatever, like on certain sites like the Sinkhole and stuff. I think the Sinkhole kind of loses a little bit of its like usefulness because it's this next, 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 and so nobody ever goes back and views old material.
Yeah, we need a synchromysticism site on Tumblr or something.
Right. We need to I guarantee you, because I get hit on copyright infringement on my own YouTube, so I'm imagining that there's certain videos of Wilner's that you can't even access anymore, and there's got to be some way. Some dude actually contacted me before last time I mentioned this, so I'm mentioning it again, and whoever that was sent me another email because I went looking for the email. I couldn't find it. But we need
that's
to,
42 minutes, Will. Thank you.
We need
Ringo.
To get Wilner's videos up. Dang it. That's all I'm saying.
All right. You've been listening to 42 Minutes, a production of ThinkBook Radio and thethinkbook.com. For more information about the ThinkBook, our guests, to check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at thethinkbook.com/42minutes. If you like what you hear and would like to support the show, follow the link on the website to the donation page. Thank you so much and have a wonderful Tuesday.
And thank you, Ringo.
Thanks.
For hanging out, man. It's been a blast.
Yeah, it was really nice.